quick prayer, Lord God. It's new school, and we are grateful that we are able to come together in such a short amount of time to begin anew in this season of fear and uncertainty. Help us to put aside what we have brought in and be about you for the next few minutes. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys, I am ready when you are. Rock on. Good morning. From First Presbyterian Church in Newhall. It is a sparse crowd today, but an excited one. How's that? If you are a guest with us, we're thrilled you have chosen to worship with us, and we do pray that God blesses you in exactly the way you need to be blessed. Pastor Bill is up north in Portland. He is attending a conference, a Presbyterian conference that has been canceled. So he is spending the weekend with friends and then will be back either tonight or tomorrow morning. And so then I get to turn the reins back over to him, which is, in today's climate, that's a really good thing for me. As is my custom, I know the angst and the joy that I bring into the sanctuary today. I don't know what you're bringing in to the sanctuary today. But let us be about putting it aside, whatever it is, let's put it aside. Free ourselves up so that we can be open to let the Spirit do what the Spirit's going to do today, because we can certainly use the Spirit today. I am going to open with a call to worship that is not in the bulletin. Val Boss, one of our members, posted this to her Facebook page, so some of you probably have it and have read it. It is a prayer during a pandemic, and somebody posted it on Facebook, Lynn Unger, and I thought, I don't have a better way to open this service, so, it's new school, so I'm taking it off my phone. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up, just for now, on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing. Pray. Touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny that now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has come clear. Do not reach out your hands. Reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live. Amen and amen. One of the most important things I think that we do as a church family of faith is to confess out loud before God our corporate sin, what we do as a community that is not what God wants us to be doing. So I will read the prayer of confession and you pray along with me. God, we have heard that we are a chosen people, but sometimes we think of ourselves as nobodies. We know that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, but often we hide from brightness and prefer to remain in the dark. Forgive us for failing to accept your love and your call, and help us to be your people and do your will. As persons grateful for your mercy, may we proclaim your mighty acts in our words and our deeds. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Father God, hear us now as we lift up our personal confessions to you. Hear now the assurance of pardon. Jesus died with his arms wide open as an everlasting reminder of our pardon for our sins. All who believe in him have received forgiveness of sin and are freed to live a whole and lasting life. Thanks be to God. Now this is about the time we are going to sing, stand and sing the Gloria Patri. And I thought maybe those of us that are here could sing that, but looking at who's here, I've decided that's probably a poor idea. So we'll just skip that time and we'll move to announcements. Thank you for the speed with which you embraced New Church. The ball was called on this Friday afternoon, Friday afternoon, and a whole bunch of people jumped into action, including my amazing tech team, which only a few of them are here, and I won't name names because I'll forget someone, and I don't want to forget someone. So just know that I have an amazing tech team that is doing not only this service and will continue to do this service. We are exploring, and the men's Bible study that meets on Monday nights, which is not really the men's Bible study anymore because everybody shows up, which is a good thing. Anyway, inclusive, there we go, good, I love that. Thank you, John. We are going to do our first audio gathering. Actually, this is the first audio gathering. I saw that on the freeway sign this morning driving over here. So this is the new church is an auto gathering, and the Bible study is going to be done via Zoom. So everybody stays home but has their computers, and they almost like FaceTime each other. And we hope in the very near future to literally do all our meetings that way for the time being. So our committee meetings, our session, our deacons will all move into the 21st century and use Zoom. Presbytery, for me, I use that Zoom all the time because we're so scattered, and it's very effective and very productive. So we're excited. I am totally excited about the changes this virus has forced upon us. And you know, I say there are blessings in everything, and I think that what we're doing here today and what we're going to do going forward is a true blessing coming out of what is a true mess. We will not be meeting at 9 o'clock starting next Sunday. We are going to meet at 10, particularly because I don't enjoy getting up early. No, that's not true. I want to make it easy upon you folks to be ready to worship. So that's why we're doing it. Not, it's for me. So let's stand and hug each other and pass the hand sanitizer and elbow. Just take a moment to think about our community and lift our community up in prayer. I urge you, as I said in the letter, these are difficult times, and we need, as a community of faith, to be Jesus to each other. We need to reach out to each other. And I'm not going to know who's sick, because I'm not seeing you sitting in the place where you always sit. We need to check on each other. And as I said in the letter, if you need help for any reason, call your deacon, call me, and I'll call your deacon. However we need to do this, let's be about taking care of one another. Okay, so now we have the anthem that didn't happen, and now we are going to do the message. So we have been preaching a series on prayer, and the series is on the prayers, the small prayers that Jesus said. For instance, it does not include the Lord's Prayer, as far as I know. Today I'll be preaching on the prayer that Jesus spoke just right before he raised Lazarus from the grave. And before I begin, I've gotten a lot of suggestions about how to do this, and honestly, my favorite one is my older daughter Mary said, "Dad, they're only filming you from the waist up. You got to just wear your jammies and your bunny slippers and just be comfortable." I did not do that. Just saying. I wanted to. I just couldn't find my bunny slippers. So it occurred to me, live streaming a sermon has a big advantage for me. I won't be able to see any of you checking your watches. Just saying. Okay. Two fly Bettys named Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus, a home slice of Jesus the Messiah. Lazarus was whack. He had a bad illness. So Mary and Martha gave Jesus the 411, saying, "Lord, the one you sweat is ill." Jesus said to his disciples, "Man, let's bounce." So they went to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and found that Lazarus was in the tomb. Death had ganked his life. "That's killed," Jesus said. "But I don't give any props to death. Mary, Martha, raise the roof. Your brother will rise again." Jesus decided to step with death. He dropped some info on his heavenly father, then cried out to Lazarus, "What's the dilly, home slice? Come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to the people around him, "Man, death is slumming. Now unbind him and let him out." Death is slumming. If any of you actually figured out all of that. I'm really impressed. For the rest of us, I'll help. Two Fly Bettys, two very attractive females. They were named Mary and Martha. They had a brother named Lazarus, a home slice, a close friend of Jesus the Messiah. Lazarus was not right, so Mary and Martha gave Jesus the 411, some inside information, saying, "Lord, the one you love is ill." Jesus and his disciples went to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus and found that Lazarus was in the tomb. So Jesus decided to step with death, to fight it, to attack it with all his heart, his soul, and his strength. And we all know the rest of the story. Jesus battles death for Lazarus, for himself, and for all of us. This came from an article in the Washingtonian from September 1998. And the title is Clueless on Speak, Kid Speak. Clueless on Kid Speak. Read this article. Let's pray together. Father God, we have heard and read this miracle story since we were children. Open our hearts and our minds this morning to new understanding. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. I really think this tale using kid speak kind of reclaims some of the energy and emotion that is at the core of this passage. We've heard the story so often that it kind of has become a little weak and tired, causing us to lose touch with the fact that its characters, including Jesus, are really young people mixed up together in a dramatic confrontation with illness and loss. So as we take a fresh look at this text, we see that in it, Jesus does nothing short of declaring all-out war on the power of death. In kid speak, he steps with death, and his victory over the power of this death points us not only to Christ's death and resurrection, but our own as well. The first 12 chapters in John's Gospel are referred to as the Book of Signs. In this book, the Lazarus miracle is the seventh and the greatest of Jesus' signs. It is also the first time in this gospel that we encounter the emotional side of Jesus. Jesus loved Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. Yet this love does not immediately compel Jesus to rush to the ill Lazarus. Instead, Jesus does not even begin his journey for 2 days. He does not arrive at Bethany until Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And as he reveals in verses 4 and 40, his pace serves to proclaim God's glory. Despite or because of Jesus' great love for this family, he proceeds toward their crisis at a pace that in the end will do the most to glorify God. Okay, in case you missed that, one more time. Despite or because of Jesus' great love for his family, this family, he proceeds toward their crisis at a pace that in the end will do the most to glorify God. Amen. Scripture this morning comes from John chapter 11, verses 38 to 44. As has been our custom of late, we pull out our Bibles rather than read it on the screen. So if you take a moment to find that scripture passage, and then I will read, and we can read it together if you like. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always heard me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we know that Martha leaves her home. They call it the house of mourning at this moment. So she leaves the house of mourning and runs out to meet Jesus. And then she pretty much gets all up in his face. "What took you so long? You walk too slow. If only you had come sooner, you could have healed our brother." I want to pause just a moment, and I want you to think about your life. Is there an if only going on in your life right now that you need to take to Jesus? And when you do it, you freely express your frustration, your anger, your joy with him as Martha did. If there is, go ahead. God is a big God. He can take it. I thought of, when I was working here, I thought of Rod Belcher's Lenten devotional as the perfect example of taking something to God, like your frustration or your anger. And I do share this with his permission. The short version: Rod's work truck catches on fire when he's at a delivery. The only water is a spa nearby and a bucket. So naturally, the truck burns up. Rod is really angry with God. Really, really angry with God. Why did this happen? Why did you let this happen now? It's the start of the season. Why couldn't it have been 6 months from now? I need this truck to make a living. If only God had put the fire out, I would not be in this awful predicament. So he now asks God's help to get another truck. Days go by, more prayers, more words that I'm not going to say here. More days, still no truck. So now Rod is even more angry at God. "What's taking so long?" So a couple days later, Rod's neighbor comes over, and Rod explains his plight. And the friend tells him he has a truck body and says, you can take your truck bed, put it on my truck body, and you have your truck. Now, Rod has a newer, more powerful diesel truck this time that helps make his job so much easier. Our God is a big God, and He can take it. Besides God being funny and loving surprises, His ways are not our ways. His timing is not our timing. N.T. Wright, a wonderful theologian of our time, says of Jesus, instead of looking at the past and dreaming about what might have been, but now can't be, Jesus invites Martha and us to look to the future. Your brother will rise again, Jesus says. How many of us keep going back to the past and dreaming about what might have been but now can't be? I suspect all of us. So Martha, she believes this about her brother, that her brother will rise again. It's standard Jewish teaching right out of Isaiah chapter 65 and 6, where Isaiah casts a vision of a new heaven and a new earth. Sound familiar? It should. The New Testament version is found in Revelation 21:4. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. We often use it as the scripture of assurance during our memorial services here. Martha believes this to her core, and yet her response shows that she does not find it at all comforting at the moment. How many of us have lost a loved one and we know we will see them again, but in the moment, it's not as comforting as we would like it to be. We are overwhelmed with our grief. And she is not prepared for Jesus' answer. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? I believe. Martha confesses, I believe. Her faith is articulate and complete. She perceives Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. You see, folks, the future has burst into the present, and it has for us too. Resurrection is no longer just a doctrine. It isn't just a future act. It is a person. And this person, he is standing right in front of her and really teasing her to live into the resurrection with trust and hope. Do you believe? I believe. Because of Martha's faithfulness, Jesus revealed that He is indeed the Christ. It is Mary's simple yet overwhelming grief that reveals Jesus' humanness. She comes to Jesus with her own if only. And seeing her tears and those of the other Jewish mourners, Jesus wept. And I suspect he wept and wept and wept. Jesus crying over the loss of his friend. Jesus is God. That is God truly grieving over the loss of his dear, dear friend, just like we do. Don't think God understands how much it hurts to lose a loved one? Think again. Jesus grieved. And for me and you, there is great comfort here, knowing that God knows and understands our greatest grief and heartache. He knows and he understands. So this group finally comes to the tomb. And Jesus calls for the stone to be moved. Jesus knows that it's going to stink really badly. And honestly, it's why Jesus took so long getting to the tomb. He wanted Lazarus good and dead, decomposed, in fact, in order to bring the most glory to God. And yet, he holds off the miracle for a few moments longer to converse with Martha one more time. He once again affirms that what he is about to do will magnify God's glory. And he asks Martha to recall that her newly confessed faith assures her of seeing this glory in the here and the now. To seeing God's glory in the here and now. Remember that. Jesus prays out loud to his Father, and he invites us to be a part of an intimate moment between he and his Father. Father, thank you. I know that you always hear me. Wow. Might behoove us all to remember these words the next time we are absolutely positive that God is on another planet and not listening to us at all. Father, thank you. I know that you always hear me. Jesus invites us to be part of this particular prayer in order that the crowd standing with him may believe he was sent by God, in order that we might believe he was sent by God. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "What's the dilly, home slice?" Wait. It's not quite right. Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." Okay, I did some research this week. A big surprise, you have to do research when you preach. And I discovered something pretty important, and it's kind of crummy, and I don't want to really share it with you, but I'm going to anyway because it's me. What I learned is that we all die. We all die. Some of us sooner than later, some of us later than sooner. Yep, we all die. That's the big news for this morning. And in response to this newly discovered knowledge, life can get pretty messed up by our desperate attempts to escape or deny the inevitability of that most certain death. We cling to idols that offer false promises of security. We seek escape through sensual and materialistic self-indulgences. We trample our neighbor, trying desperately to feel worthy and substantial and more significant than everybody else. In this story, this miracle, God embraces the heart of our dilemma, our human dilemma, because he is moved by compassion for our plight. Think about that. It's almost too big to get our heads around. The Creator and Lord of the entire cosmos engages our deepest contradictions as human beings. And he does it through a limitless compassion that is radically on our side. Don't you love that word, radically? Jesus isn't tame. Jesus is radical. This miracle is a perfect example. Death, you think you have won, you know nothing. Wait till you see what I'm going to do. Kind of reminds me of Paul in Romans 8, and I believe it's verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus' prayer reveals that his action comes out of his communion in the Spirit with the Father. He prays out loud in order to reveal that communion to us, his followers. And Lazarus, coming out of the grave, reveals God's intention that we become not just witnesses to this miracle, not just witnesses to this Father, Son, Spirit communion. Technical word for that is Trinitarian, but that's too big for me. So Lazarus coming out of the grave reveals God's intention that we become not just witnesses to this Father, Son, and Spirit communion, but we become active participants in its divine power and life. And remember Martha, when she realized this doesn't happen sometime in the future. This happens in the here, right now. For Martha and for you and me. Devotion to Jesus draws us into the life of God. That's a cool line, isn't it? Devotion to Jesus draws us into the life of God. And as Pastor Bill, I think, would tell us, through the Spirit, Jesus pulls us disciples into the dance of the one and the three. Cool, huh? Through the Spirit, Jesus pulls us disciples, you and me, into the dance of the one and the three. Folks, we are dancing with God. Wow, that's cool. I will close with this comment on verse 44. And now I know you've got your Bibles out, so you're quickly reading that verse. I'll give you the my version. The risen Lazarus stumbles out of the tomb, still wrapped in his burial clothes, which Jesus commands his disciples to remove. One commentator, and I was going to tell you his name, but it's a German thing I can't explain. I can't speak, so I'm not going to. One commentator suggested that this is a picture of the church's life. Taking burial clothes off of somebody? He says this, Christ, through baptism, raises believers to new and righteous life. But sinful habits and temptations of the old life still encumber us and obscure our vision. Christ, therefore, entrusts to his disciples the task of unbinding each other from these remnants of the old life that persists in the aftermath of our redemption. End quote. Lazarus was all bound up. He could not get out of those clothes without help. It's kind of like you got tape on your hands, and you can't get out of it because it's duct tape and because you can't reach it. Same with Lazarus. So I'm pretty sure that Jesus is saying, we all need each other to grow into the new life Christ has won for us. So to that end, let us be about lifting each other up. Not so easy to do in this day and age. Let us be about loving each other. Let us be about encouraging each other. Let us be about celebrating each other. Let us be about walking dark roads with each other. Let us be about crying with each other. Let us be about praying for each other. And this week, let us be about adding to the list for each other. And for the foreseeable future, please try and do all of this without touching each other. To God be the glory. Christ has stepped with death and won. And that, my friends, is the 411. Amen and amen. Now we're supposed to sing something, but we're not going to. And I invite you now to even say aloud to each other in your home, say aloud, people that need prayer, be it a prayer of healing, a prayer of mercy, a prayer of justice, a prayer of joy. I'm going to give you a moment to do that. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I was going to say something corny about opening your wallets and praising God with your tithes and your offerings, but I'll skip that part. Thank you, John. You can give online, folks. It's the new world. For my benediction, before I do that, please remember we will live stream at 10 o'clock next Sunday, and for the foreseeable future, we will do that. Please remember, and I know you will, that this is a fluid kind of situation, and we will adapt as we learn more things. We get new information, we will continue to adapt. We are going to continue to add whistles and bells to this experience as we go forward and learn how to do all of that. So please stay tuned, and suggestions, I'm open for them. Don't bombard me all at once, but I'm open to suggestion and comment. So please don't hesitate. And I can't think of a better benediction than the prayer that I opened with for the call to worship. So let me read that. Let's pray together again. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up, just for now, on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing, pray, touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. When your body has become still, reach out your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has become clear. Do not reach out your hands, reach out your heart, reach out your words, reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live. Amen. Go in peace.